Shalom, and welcome to Congregation Beth Am's Parasha podcast. My name is Rabbi David Kornberg. I'm here with my partner, Rabbi Matthew Earn, and today we are talking about Parashat Mishpatim. Now, Rabbi Earn, one of the things that is most amazing about this moment of Torah is we've just left last week probably one of the most climactic moments we have within our story. We were standing at Mount Sinai, that revelation, that face-to-face experience of God. And the question is, well, what happens next? And I think Parashat Mishpatim is very instructive for us in terms of what happens next from a Jewish perspective.
Yeah, what happens next? We focus on the relationships that we share in this world. Relationships with the slave, relationships with the orphan, the widow, the stranger, and the relationships with each other.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is so difficult to go from this meta moment, this magnificent moment in our lives to what really amounts to everyday moments and mundane issues. And I think actually that's where this parsha begins, and that's where the rest of the Torah continues. Because if we think about it, and I've taught this many times, you know, if Revelation is the high point of the Torah, shouldn't that be at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we finish with that and have that be sort of the high point of the story and climactic conclusion and dun-da-da-da,
you know,
we can have Star Wars music or whatever it is at the end. But that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We're halfway through the second book out of five.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the books have things to say after this moment. And it's that, I think, is where Judaism truly lives. And let's dig into that a little bit in terms of what that may be able to teach us.
At first glance, you'd expect a religion to be encouraging us to focus primarily on our relationship with the divine. And the Torah and Judaism has a different message, saying that's holy, that's important, but equally as important is our relationship with each other. And by the way, you know who picks up on this? It's the wise son. Because the question of the wise son is not just what are the chukim, like what are the laws that, you know, God gave us, but what's the chukim, the edut, and the mishpatim, right? That, you know, from the name of this week's Torah portion. But the wise son hints that there's got to be more than us just following a passive rite. But what is going on in the Seder that's influencing how we treat one another in an ethical manner, which is what mishpatim are?
To me, mishpatim is about relevance, because we take these big theological concepts that don't typically affect us every single day of our lives, right? Now, yes, we can argue that not murdering and not stealing is something that we need to obey every moment of our lives, but most of us aren't thinking about murdering or stealing at every moment of every day.
Right.
And so, yes, they come up and they're these major moral values that help us build our society, but it's not the day-to-day where the rubber meets the road how to live. And once we get to Mishpatim, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
It's about how do I deal with this person that I see every single day, and do I treat him well? Do I treat him not well? Do I see somebody who's in a state that is down on his luck and he's now a slave or an indentured servant? Do I treat him differently because of that? All of these things are things that are really meaningful, at least to that time. And we can now have a conversation. Are they still meaningful to us today? But let's start with at that time.
Yeah, that's the work. The work is in those small, meaningful relationships or the details of our relationships in terms of how we carry out our lives. If you think about how we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, especially Yom Kippur, the vidui is not like, well, we all sinned against God, will God forgive us? We have those moments in the liturgy, but rather through all the alchets and all the ashamnu, it's the small little things that we can do to each other that can cause harm that often we just overlook because, I know I'm giving tzedakah, I know I'm going to synagogue, I just want to share a couple of negative things about Rabbi Kornberg. No, not that I would ever do that, right? But, you get what I'm saying. It's so easy just to think these small, minute details are small, And not significant. And Mishpatim in our holiday cycle says, no, 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 pay attention to them because that's where the work is.
Well, and I would flip that. I agree 100% with what you're saying, Rabbi Aaron. I would flip that and I would say just as powerful as these small negative things are to create what ultimately is a huge negative valence, right, at the end of this, so too the positive things, mm-hmm. right? We forget that, you know, when we're trying to be there and we're trying to do something nice for a friend, for a loved one, it doesn't have to be always this, you know, thought out big production that we do. Those are nice and those are special,
right.
But it's the little day-to-day gestures right. that add up, that actually go a lot further
yes.
in establishing what that relationship is and what the feeling of that relationship is than any of these big gestures. And I think, again, that is what Mishpatim is really trying to teach us.
Yes. When I think about the message you just gave, I think about the laws that govern how we provide comfort to people who are mourning.
Mm.
And so often we feel pressure about what it is that we have to say. Can we say the right thing? And really, there is no set thing that one can say. There's no code. Maybe we have some liturgy you can throw in there, but even that is not the right thing to say.
As a matter of fact, our tradition tells us, at least for the first 3 days, what are you supposed to do when you get there? Say nothing.
Correct. Correct.
Right?
Correct.
It doesn't really matter. It's not about what you say. It's about being there.
Yes. 100%.
Right?
Yep.
It's about actually doing the action. It's not the words. It's not the quote-unquote ritual.
Yeah.
Right? It's the action itself of just being there that has power.
Yeah.
And I think as we go through Parashat Mishpatim and we look at all of these, it is actually one of the sections of our Torah that contains the most mitzvot in a particular, in any given Parsha,
mm-hmm.
as we go through. There are others that are close and maybe some even that are a little bit more, but this is certainly one of the largest. All of these varied Mishpatim that take us throughout, you know, our lives and how we interact with people and how we interact with ourselves and how we interact with the world around us. And yet, what isn't there is what we've been talking about last week's Parsha, which is how we interact with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what's the message there?
So one of the commentaries that I read says, no, like actually, when we treat each other in an ethical manner, that is how we are worshiping God. That it's not a separate book, not a separate chapter. Like, okay, that was the, Yitro was the revelation one, and this is the people one. Mishpatim is the people one. No, this is a continual revelation, right? And when I affirm that there's one God and I observe Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that is the exact same mitzvah as not harming a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important message for us because, again, I think we underestimate, right, just how sacred, right, treating each other with kavod is.
I agree 100%. I think it's incredibly important. And it's actually one of the things that separates us and differentiates, I think, us as Jews from other religions that are out there. Other religions seem to have a real clear division between the sacred and the mundane. The way that we worship God, the way that we practice our religion, and then our day-to-day life in terms of what it is that we do. There doesn't need to be a connection. For Jews, I think it's the opposite. I think our day-to-day life is an expression of our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the mitzvot mean. And Mishpatim is coming to say, yeah, just as important as keeping my Shabbat, and just mm-hmm. as important keeping yeah. my moral values, are going to be the way that you treat one another, the way that you live your life, because in essence, we bring God into the world when we act godly. When we do those things, it creates a world, it creates space for God to be there.
Yeah, I want to highlight the point you're making because I think it is underappreciated. I'm worried that as our listeners are hearing us, they might be seeing that we are repeating perhaps a children's message. Oh, just be nice because that's a godly thing. I think we're actually hinting at a very complex idea. That what's at stake? There's a lot of tort law in Mishpatim.
Mm-hmm.
And what's at stake? In American law, we're probably thinking what's at stake is what is the just amount of finance that I should be receiving for if I'm wrong or if I've been wronged. Or what should I be giving if I've wronged someone else? What we're saying is, that's a separate category of law, and justice is important. A Jewish person that was mindful of what is the best way of maintaining godliness in this world? And I need help, because when I come to at a crossroads with someone and we have a difference of opinion here, we've got to figure out, like, how can we bring about God into this world? Because if we're stuck and we're not seeing eye to eye, then the presence of God is diminished. And that's a big theological assertion.
I agree. You know, we talk about, there's a famous section of Talmud that talks about, is it possible, it's quoting a section of Psalms that says we should follow the ways of God. Mm-hmm. And the Talmud asks, is it actually possible for a human being who's finite and limited to follow the ways of infinite God? Mm-hmm. And the answer is actually the way we do that is by acting godly, by emulating those actions that God has mm-hmm. set for us. Just as God clothes the naked, so too should we clothe the naked. Mm-hmm. Just as God feeds the hungry, so too should we feed the hungry. And that emulation is something that we've picked up in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's present in our liturgy, and only recently have I begun to pay more attention to it. It's the second paragraph of the Amidah. Mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechaye meitim berachim. So mech noflim, the Hebrew that I'm saying is, brings life to the deceased, relieves those who are stuck, heals those who are sick, clothes the naked. This is all part of our liturgy, as if our rabbis wanted us to follow this idea of emulating God through our ways and not linking our faith solely to a set liturgy or to a faith that's not linked to the actions we take in this world.
Yeah, when I've taught that in different settings, I always teach that paragraph as us being able to almost make a choice as to how we want to hear those words. Do we want to say these words as words of praise? Right? This is God. This is what God does. And I think it's a very valid way of understanding that prayer. Mm-hmm. Or do we want to see these words as words of guidance, as words of almost introspection, mm-hmm. right? Looking in at ourselves mm-hmm. and saying, wow, these are all the things that God does. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we too be doing these things if we want to emulate God, if we want to bring God into this world?
That latter response, I think, is the message of Mishpatim.
100%, 100%. Well, I encourage you all to take some time and read through this parsha, see all of the different laws that are there, and you're going to see very clearly that our tradition really goes deep into how it is that one should treat another person, how it is that we should create a society that is moral, that is viable, that is ultimately going to last for a very long period of time. As always, if you want to hear any more of our podcasts, hear ones that we have done before, you can go to our website, www.betham.com/podcasts, and you can look at our archived podcasts. Until then, Shavua Tov, everyone.